Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Lucretia Hayes, your host of The Awakening, and I am super happy to share this Thursday with you, talking about the things that are pertinent to women. Before we get started with today's show, I have a few announcements. First of all, I want to invite you guys to definitely check out my website, Favorite It, because there's a lot of new and exciting things coming. It's www.lucretiahayes, that's spelled LacretiaHayes.com. And I'm also happy to announce that I have a new book coming, and it will be out by the end of next week. It's called Adjacent Smiles. It's a romance story, and it's encouragement and empowerment for people who still are believing and looking for love, and, you know, maybe you're struggling with the idea that you're going to find it. But I'm here to encourage you that you can keep believing, because it is coming. There's a lot of great information in the book. There's a little bit of poetry. There's a love story, and then there's a lot of insight and encouragement, because sometimes it's not that we don't have it, and sometimes we don't know what to do with what we already have. So keep that in mind. Also, Black Dakota will be re-released come April the 15th, so definitely be looking out for that. I have quite a few books coming this year. The Snare of a Strange Woman will finally be widespread available, and then we have quite a few grant and business books that we'll be releasing around mid-summer, so there's a lot of that going on. Also, if you haven't yet, I invite you to check out my page, Your Healing Partner, and give us a like. It's facebook.com/yourhealingpartner, all spelled out, all one word. And definitely like us and tell your friends about us. We are planning to do some special things with our Facebook page to enlighten and encourage you guys and just to keep you walking on the right path. You see, it's not about just how much strength you have, but it's also about how much strength as a collective unit we have. And it's time for us to learn how to be sisters one to another and brothers for a few good men that are listening, and learn how to encourage and build one another up. If you guys hear a little bit of background noise, just know that I'm out and about maneuvering, and but I didn't want to miss the show. I actually look forward to the 30 minutes that we spend together every Thursday. Last announcement, on Saturday at 12:30 Central Standard Time, we will be back here on The Awakening, and I will have one of my authors and the way to describe Kiana Budd is just, it's really hard to describe her in a few words, but she's empowerment personified. She actually is a go-getter. She's strong, but she's humble, and she loves helping other people. She has her own radio program, a whole lot of other things going on. Her book is The Pivotal Relationship, which is a powerful book. It's available on Amazon and Kindle, also Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. So check that out, and we'll be having an interview with her Saturday at 12:30 Central Standard Time right here on The Awakening. We'll soon also have interviews coming up with Kathy Eberly, who's the author of Carissa's Hope, and we have also an interview coming up with Darlene Oakley, who is one of my Canadian authors who wrote the book Inner Sanctum. She has a vivid imagination. I mean, I love their books. All three of those books are amazing. Now, with that being said, let's get on with today's show. Today's show is called The Wandering Woman, wandering with an A, meaning moving about, seeking, searching. And it's important that you guys understand something before I even get started with what we're going to talk about. I'm not actually saying that there's anything wrong with wandering, but because here's the fact of the matter. All of us have been wandering at some point in time. Even those of us who came up in really great homes and had all the encouragement and support that we needed, there comes a time in every woman's life that she asks herself questions about who she is, what she stands for, and her purpose here. In fact, it's the same for men. We all, as humans, come to a place where the questions overpower everything that has already happened. So I want you guys to think for one moment about wherever you are right now in your life, whatever place you're occupying, and I want you to think about what you want to do, where you want to be, what you think your life should be, and think about what you think is separating you from that. And then I'm going to go on into what I had planned to say to you guys today. If anyone decides that you want to be on air, you have a question or a comment, please feel free to press 1. Now, there was a time, and I always start off talking about myself because people get offended when you talk about them. So there was a time in my life when I personally had no direction. I knew I could feel greatness in my blood, pumping through my blood, but I didn't know how, because I grew up on welfare, and I had 2 children before I got out of junior high school. And we ain't even talking about high school. I had a baby at 15 and another one at 16, and I failed a grade, and then I ended up waiting until the 11th grade, taking double classes, then quitting and getting my GED. Blessed enough to still get a scholarship and go to college, but, you know, all of those challenges, I went through being physically abused, domestic violence before I was even an adult, and I was already coming through all of the dysfunction of my childhood. And so the fact is that I didn't know how anybody like me could even have a chance at having a better life. But God always has a way to put his will right in front of your face and to open up a door, you know. And I'm sure that the door that I finally went through was not the first time that a door had been opened, but bless God, finally a door opened that I was able to walk through. When it comes to you deciding what you're going to do with your life, you have to tap in and become one with yourself. You got to connect, reconnect with you, because your answers are inside of you. See, a lot of us pray, mistakenly pray to God to give us the answer. The answer was in you the day that you were born, that you were created. See, I like what God told Jeremiah. He said this. He said that I knew you before I formed you in the womb of your mother. He said, and I ordained you a prophet. See, before Jeremiah knew anything about what a prophet was, before he had ever taken his first gasp of air, already God had formed him, knew him in his mind, and ordained him for a purpose. And what we try to do is wait till we're 20, 30, 40, and 50 and ask God, what am I supposed to be doing? He's saying what you're supposed to be doing is already in you. But you're looking for all these answers outside of yourself when I place them inside of you, because guess what? Not one of you that are alive today has any lack in you. Any lack that you perceive is because of how you have been programmed to think. It's like mind control. People want you to think you need different things, and maybe different institutions want you to think you need different things to keep you seeking and keep you searching, because people who are wandering with an A, people who are wandering make terrible mistakes sometimes. You know, they spend money they shouldn't spend. They go places they shouldn't go. They date people they shouldn't date. They live places they shouldn't live. They do things because they're seeking for an answer. Now, here's the thing. All things, and I believe this, work together for the good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. So what happens is, in all your wandering, there's lessons being gathered and collected. And before you know it, you still find your way. But there's an easier way than learning through mistakes you make. And that easier way is by getting in touch with you, learning who you are, and being true to that person. Now, I wrote a book. I don't know if any of you guys have read it. I know some of you guys have. It's called The Path to Oneness. And in this book, what I talk about is getting back to a place where I'm not at odds with myself. See, a lot of times when we're wandering, we're trying things out that don't even feel good to our souls. I'm not talking about to your flesh. It's a lot of things that you're going to do that's not going to feel good to your body, because honestly, you really just shouldn't be doing it. But I'm talking about to your spirit, man, to your soul. It just don't feel good, because you're doing something that you were never designed to do. And then you're going to end up walking a path that you weren't really designed to walk. Now, you will learn from it, but why do that when you can just take the time to reconnect with God and reconnect with yourself? The thing is, I think about a lot of times the women that I know, so many strong women, they have crossed my path. All of them were not necessarily friends or family. Some of them were just people I saw from a distance. I saw them go through what they went through. I saw them maintain their faith, saw them maintain their trust in God, saw them maintain their hope to have a better life and actually put action behind that hope and pursue a better path. I saw some things that was just beautiful to me. I think about a young lady that I went to church with named Teresa. I used to see her serve, and she would just serve. She fixed plates and back and forth. She was always the last person to eat. She was always the last person to, she made sure she took care of everyone else before she took care of herself. That impressed me. It made an impression upon me because what I was seeing was something that was in me, even though I had never done it. And so because I saw it now, I began to seek it out. But it wasn't until I looked inside that I was able to tap into it. Why did I share this story with you guys? Because, guys, your surroundings are it's imperative that you watch your surroundings, that you actually design them. See, a lot of us are so used to letting our atmosphere be whatever it already is rather than actually creating an atmosphere for us to thrive. See, a lot of us are in survivor mode, and that's nice. It's better to survive than to be taken under. Don't get me wrong. But it's time to go up a level from just surviving to thriving through whatever it is that life throws at you. You see, something that I learned is that even the harshest things that you've been through were not there to destroy you. You know, a lot of times I hear people say, the devil meant to destroy me, or what the devil meant for my bad, God mean it for my good and all of that. And we take them scriptures and stuff and we try to use that sometimes when it don't apply, because there are some things, some challenges, some pains you've endured that had to be endured. It was sent from the Lord to make you. I like the scripture in the Old Testament where God talks about, you know, him being the potter, us being the clay. I like the scripture where he calls himself a refining fire, because what he's doing is burning all the impurities out. That don't feel good. If you can imagine being a bar of gold tossed into a fire, you know, melted down to nothing, that don't feel good. If it had feelings, it wouldn't like that at all. Melted down to nothing and being boiled until all of the impurities float up to the top so that it can be pulled off and thrown away, so that when you reform into another bar, you're worth more than you were before the process. God is concerned about your value. He's concerned about your purpose. He's not concerned about how good things feel to you, how good things look to others. He doesn't care about that. All of that stuff is secondary. Now, he is concerned with anything that concerns you, but his primary objective is to get you through this life and make sure you end it better than you began it. Guys, a lot of you have been looking for love and acceptance and appreciation and purpose. You're just seeking so many different things. You're looking for validation. You walk softly. You tread so softly that a person can barely tell you're in the room. You speak softly. You move in a way that people won't notice because you don't want to be noticed. You're afraid to be noticed. You don't know, you really don't know what to do with yourself. And so to keep from being rejected again, you'd just rather fade to black. But that was not the purpose. I love the scripture in Matthew where it says, what God says, a city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. You know, and he said a man doesn't light a candle and put it under a basket or a bushel or whatever it said. I probably need to read it again, but I think it said a basket. But he lights it and he sets it out so that the whole house can receive light. A lot of you are lights, but you've hidden yourself away because you're afraid of the rejection that comes along with standing for something. Some of you right now, you know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know what could be done or what should be done. You're waiting on everybody else to do it, but it's in you to do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't even know. See, the things that you know, just like when you say, well, that's not right and that shouldn't be done and somebody needs to do. When you find yourself saying that, you are the somebody that needs to do. But because you're afraid, because you don't realize that if the whole world rejects you, you've already been accepted by the one who counts. So you were created by God, designed with a plan. The Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he didn't spare nothing when he was creating you because he gave you faith. He gave you hope. He gave you love. And then if you look in Romans, he tells us that not only did he create us, he justified us. You know what I mean? He has already predestined us. Everything that God wants you to do, you have already been empowered to do. You are not, and I want to repeat this, you that are listening are not waiting on God. Stop saying that. It is a lie from the pits of hell. God is done with what he's going to do. He's already given you the ability. Think about this. The Bible just talks about how God gave these three servants this these talents. He gave one servant one talent. He gave another one three talents, and then he gave another one five. No, he gave one five. He gave one, yeah, he gave one one. And he gave one three, he gave one five. And the one that had five, he went and actually invested it and made it ten. Then the one that had three, he invested and made it six. But the one who had one, he hid it away. He buried it because he was afraid. He didn't want to be rejected, and he didn't want to get in trouble. And he was so worried that he didn't realize that, look, you've been given something, not for you to just sit there on it, but for you to go forward and do something with it. Your voice needs to be heard. What you've been through, your experiences need to be shared. The Bible tells us that we overcome him with the blood of the Lamb, and not just the blood of the Lamb, and the word of our testimony. Why are you not sharing your testimony? Why do you believe that someone else has more right to live this life that God gave you? Someone else has more right to speak, more right to teach, more right to go forward, more right to make a difference than you. Because when God created this world and when he began to create man, he did not spare or put any man above another. He said he is not a respecter of persons. And so I'm telling you today, and I'm calling you forward to say, hey, you that are listening, you have been ordained to do great things. You have been ordained to walk great paths. You have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That is the will of God concerning you. He wants you to prosper and be in health. He wants you to thrive in all circumstances and situations. He wants you to carry his name, carry his light, carry his love, and carry his power. He wants you to see him in action, but only way you can do it is to believe that he's in you, believe that he's with you. The Bible says that, yes, I'm with you, even to the ends of the earth. You got to believe it. You know, I had a friend, God rest her soul, she was my best friend. Her name was Kenna Sue Simpson. And I mean, that is probably the most powerful woman I have ever come across. But she used to always tell me at times, she would just tell me, she said, you know, God thinks of you more times in a day than there are grains of sand on the seashore. Try numbering that. He said, she would bring out that scripture that he's engraved my name in the palm of his hands. And see, every time I cry a tear, he bottles it. That's not just for me. That's not just for the preachers that you see. That's for you. Your name is engraved in the palm of his hands. He's thinking about you more times in a day than there are grains of sand on the seashore. You are precious to him. This thing got to be real. Stop wandering around looking for someone to love you. God loves you. Now you need to love you. And rather look at who you can love. Okay? Stop wandering around looking for someone to accept you, because you're not going to always be accepted. One thing that the Bible promises us, Jesus said this. He said that the world, if they reject you, just know that they first rejected me. So rejection is a part of walking this walk and talking this talk and doing what God anointed you to do. If you don't want rejection, and if you don't want pain, and if you don't want, you know, all of the hardships that come along, then you don't want to live, because whether you live for Christ or not, whether you're living with God or not, you're going to have to go through some pains. You're going to go through some hurts. So a person say, what's the benefit of serving God? Because with God, you never have to go through it alone. You never have to wonder. There's security in the Lord. There's certainty in him. His arms are not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. He is ever attentive to your prayers and your calls. But you quit calling because you let people make you think you weren't worthy to pray. You quit asking because you let people make you think that you weren't worthy to receive. You quit knocking because you feel like you're not worthy for the door to be open for you. Today I'm here to tell you, you are worthy. You are the workmanship of God, his own craftsmanship. And no matter what you've been through and what you've done, see, some of us, our problem is our memory works too well when it comes to our mistakes. You remember everything that you've ever done that ain't pleasing to God. Well, I'm here to tell you that you've never looked at a person on TV preaching the gospel. You've never seen anybody, I don't care how powerful you think they are, that have not made mistakes. that have not experienced failure. The difference is you have to determine and make a conscious decision every single day of your life that you're going to do this again with God. You're going to keep on holding on to him no matter what. See, you're not going to be perfect overnight. Surely you didn't think that. Surely you didn't think that. You're not going to do everything right. If we didn't need mercy, new mercies every morning, then he wouldn't have given them to us. He said his mercies are new every morning because he know we need them to be renewed every morning. He gave us grace, and through grace he calls us to be saved. Why? Because he know that we'll never be good enough to deserve it on our own, but because he created us and he loves us so, he created a path to make sure that we can stay in relationship with him no matter what goes on. There is not a devil in hell or any person in the world that can make you miss God. The only way you miss him is if you decide to miss him. It has to be your decision. You're going to decide to serve him or you're going to decide not to. But that's on you. Guys, I can honestly say that I probably have made more mistakes than anybody else I know, because I'm keenly aware of all my shortcomings. But I also thank God that he never made me susceptible to public opinion. I don't care what people think of me. I care what he thinks of me, and I go out of my way to make sure that I'm in a place with him where I can still say, Lord, help me. Lord, show me, strengthen me, teach me, train me, whatever I need, I'm always in his space for it. I decided a long time ago, after going through a bunch of breakups and relationship traumas and friendship traumas and all kind of failures and breakdowns and communication and just all kind of stuff. After going through all of the stuff I've been through, I decided a long time ago, I'm tired of wondering and I'm tired of seeking for my answer in people. Because here's the thing, why should I have the right to expect any person that I'm looking at to be better than I am? We're all just people. You know, the Bible tells us this, that no good thing dwells in the flesh. My flesh, your flesh, his flesh, her flesh, no good thing dwells therein. So why should I put the burden of carrying me through my own hardships on another person when God has already made a... Listen to this, guys. When Jesus gave up the ghost, the Bible records that the veil of the temple was rent. Why was the veil of the temple rent? Because God was tired of us having to depend on some other man to come before him on our behalf. He said he wants personal relationship with each and every one of us. And so he rent the veil of the temple to signify that, yes, you are welcome. Yes, you can come. Yes, you can come. The only requirement, guys, is the blood of Jesus. Now, I never really intended to preach, but, you know, it turns into what it turns into, and I don't want you guys, like some of you that's listening, you might not be saved, and I'm not going to press you on that issue. I know what I believe, and you heard everything that I said, but it's still your decision, and I'm going to love you regardless. See, true belief and true relationship with God gives room for each person to be who they want to be. See, even God, see this thing that used to get me, I used to get mad when people reject God, but even God don't do it. He don't make you die as soon as you decide you don't want to serve him. Now, if he can love and keep loving people who do not love him, who am I to have more of a grudge than he do? I love you regardless of what you do, but I'm telling you what I know for a fact and beyond that to be the 100% truth. The only true joy you're going to have in this world and the only true success has to come through reconnecting with the Creator, learning him as Father and not always Master. See, a lot of us know the Master side, and we try to relate to God in fear, and then that makes it hard to love. See, it's hard to love something you fear, you're afraid of, but when you relate to him in love and relate to him as Father, you understand that his precepts and the things that he show us and give us is for our making. And so, guys, I'm encouraging you today to stop wondering. Stop wondering. Set yourself in the Lord and let him fill you up with the love you need, the acceptance you need, and show you your purpose. Stop asking people to be something that they cannot be for you, which is perfect, because you cannot be that for other people. You can't be it for yourself. But God is perfect. and His love is perfect. And it comes with our repentance. And so if you will, right now, one of the things I'm going to ask each of you that's listening to do is to actually close your eyes for just a moment and say aloud, I don't care where you are, I will do this with the Lord, because any other way, it just ain't worth it, if it's even possible. I will do it with the Lord. It doesn't matter if last night you got out of bed with somebody that wasn't your husband or your wife. It doesn't matter if 10 minutes ago you just finished cussing somebody out, going through road rage or whatever. So you got to learn to let the past be the past. We're talking about right now. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now. Now is all you have. You can't reverse the past. There ain't nothing you can do with that. And you ain't made it to the future yet. But right now, you can make a decision. Each moment after now, you just renew that same decision until you program yourself all the way down to your DNA to trust the Lord and to follow Him. God has a purpose for you. You weren't created just to go through hardships and pains and to cry your eyes out at night. You were not created to suffer, and that's all. You were created for love. You were created for power. You were created for joy. You were created for peace. You were created as an object of His glory. Oh, it's the scripture. God, I wish I remember where it was, and I really believe it's in Ephesians. But it says this, guys. Some of you that's Bible scholars, you're going to know what I'm talking about. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power is of Him and not of us. See, for you to get that, understand this. That is saying that everything that you're doing anyway, just the power to breathe, the energy it takes to even exist, that's not from you. It's not yours. This life is a gift. That power is from Him, and that's a treasure. Then every time you take a breath, then you know that God is with you. All it takes from you is a renewed commitment to let Him lead, to let Him be what's most important. I'm not a perfect person. This is not coming from someone who hadn't made mistakes and don't make mistakes. This is coming from someone who loves the Lord and thereby loves what He loves, which is you. You, 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 and you. That's what He loves. And so love necessarily brings about the truth. I'm not telling you to change your lifestyle right now, because that's one of the first things God told me. He said, stop preaching to my people about what they should and should not be doing, because the only thing that counts is that you teach them to love me. Because, see, here's the thing, guys. When you love someone, you don't hurt them. You know, see, if I love you, I'm going to give. If I love you, I'm going to pay attention. If I love you, I'm going to spend time with you. All it really takes for you to do is learn to love the Lord. And, see, we love Him because He first loved us. And so that is my show today. Guys, I hope that you got something out of it. You don't have to search anymore. God understands you. He knows. Oh, He knows. He knows. He knows you better than you know yourself. See, everything is naked and open before His eyes. And today I just want to dismiss you from the show with this thought in mind. It is nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you guys go and be productive and know that you are loved and being prayed for. Again, if you missed the announcements, be sure that you check out my website, LucretiaHayes.com, and be looking for the book, Adjacent Smiles, the end of next week. Have a blessed day.